So I saw a guy who had posted this just last week. It said, "Today I used a piece of wood that I've kept in my garage since 2006, just in case I might need it." That's great, isn't it? I could have posted, "Today I used a piece of wood that I kept in my garage because I was too lazy to take it somewhere else. And I just happened to find out that I needed it again," right? Is your life more like that than this other guy? I mean, really? Isn't the Lord like that? Things happen in your life and you're really not sure what's going on, and later the Lord just taps that thing that He's taught you or that thing that He showed you. Yeah, I'm not sure we're as intentional as we think we are. God's pretty amazing. So, has anybody ordered anything from Amazon lately? Let's not reveal everything. So, but how many times you've ordered, Catherine? I don't know. But you know, the wonderful thing is about tracking packages. You know, so if you wonder like where it is, you know, you can go on and it'll tell you it's order received and then shipped. It's like, ooh, it's moving. It's shipped. And then you can begin, if it's from a long ways away, you can begin to track where it might be. And then it'll say arrived. And then there's a picture that the delivery guy or gal has taken a picture of the box on your porch. Is that cool? You know, so it's like you order, you know, received, shipped, you can track where it is, and then it's arrived. Here's a picture. Now, how many of us really want the kingdom of God to work that way? Right. So we pray, we request, we call out, and we want to heard. We want to know we've heard. We want to know that the God's response has been shipped. We'd like to know, like, how's it moving? And then wouldn't you like to just get a picture? And it's like, it's arrived. And what you really want to see is when it's arrived is you're in the picture, right? Because you're getting the thing that you've asked of God, right? One of the things I marvel at in the scriptures in the book of Psalms is how many times it says, "I cried out to the Lord and He heard me." I cried out to the Lord and He heard me. I mean, just start looking. I cried out. I called on the Lord. He heard me. That's like order received, right? And then usually the psalm goes on to describe what it's like as you wait. And oftentimes you don't get a message about where it is in transit, right? And you're waiting. Jesus says to His disciples, He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." To give you the kingdom. And oh, how we want it to be like Amazon, right? But the kingdom, well, if you start reading of all the parables that Jesus uses to describe the kingdom, it's nothing like Amazon. It's more like that, you know, I've only done this like a handful of times in my life where I've actually went and bought seeds and planted them, like for tomato plants. You know, I know the Wilsons do that some. You know, that's just insane. I mean, it's just like you stare at that little dirt and you just wait and you wait and you wait, right? And I mean, I like to go buy, I mean, if you go to Lowe's now, there are some Lowe's that still have some tomato plants and they have tomatoes already on them. That's how you buy a tomato plant, you know? When you read about Jesus talking about the kingdom, it's not like Amazon, it's like agriculture, and we forget that, right? But the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that gets planted. The kingdom of God is like the wheat that grows, right? And you know, that requires waiting. The kingdom of God is almost an automatic invitation to learn to be a person who waits, who doesn't get things instantaneously or as quickly as we would like. Well, if you heard the first lesson, paid attention to the first lesson from the book of Genesis, from the life of Abraham. This is early in Abraham's life, and you know, God's doing this thing that's very personal with Abraham. And and Abraham's personal thing is also included in God's great big purpose, which is to establish a new tribe, a new people, a new nation of Israel, right? And so God meets with Abraham, and you just gotta love this. I hope more of us become more like this than not. You know, God says, I'm going to be your shield and your reward. And Abraham says, well, by the way, this thing isn't working in my life. Where is it? I hope you know that God delights in us being able to speak our mind and heart to Him. When you speak your mind and heart, sometimes it sounds like complaining. Sometimes it sounds like sort of, where are you? But that doesn't have to mean it's critical or it's cynical or it's full of, it's just the cry of life, right? God, here I am and I'm looking for something and it's not here. And so I love what Abraham says. Well, by the way, since you mentioned reward, this is what I'm looking for. But in this story, God will promise Abraham that he and his wife will conceive and bear a son. God's going to provide an heir, really, out of them, out of their family line. Now, if you listen to the book of Hebrews passage this morning, which describes that same story slightly, it says that God considered them as good as dead. Now, if you thought being called old was insulting, well, imagine God shows them and says, you know, you're just as good as dead. But he does this wonderful thing in their lives and they have a child, right? And are you aware, have you been to the Bible study where they told you that the time between God's promise and the birth of that child is 25 years? That's a chunk of time. I mean, in 25 years, I had lived in I don't know how many states, gone to I don't know how many schools, came to faith in Christ, fell in love, got an undergraduate degree, had my first child, was praying about my full-time vocation. I mean, a lot can happen in 25 years. And so the gap of waiting upon the Lord for Abram was significant. And I kind of think, gosh, God said, you're going to have this kid 9 months. Here's boom, they got this baby. And it's just not how it happened. And there's this theme of waiting. I want to give you the kingdom. But the kingdom, I think the kingdom comes for those who wait. I mean, think of the day of Pentecost. What did Jesus say to the 12 and then really to the 120 that would end up being, I want you to wait in Jerusalem. I want you to wait. It seems to imply that God does something during waiting that needs to be done for us to receive the fullness of His gift, the answer that He wants to speak, the response that He wants to give. Now, waiting is a challenge, isn't it? I mean, you know, I'm like, order something from Amazon, it says it'll be here within 24 hours. I'm like checking I'm looking for the picture. 24 hours, people! That is crazy. And there's something that goes on with God in waiting. Well, here's three anchors to help us wait. The first anchor to be a person of waiting is to be anchored in a real experience of God's personal love for you. You can wait when you know there are love. You know you're the beloved. You know, there are all kinds of ways to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I just mentioned Pentecost, that incredible thing where people spoke in other languages and spoke in other tongues, right? And the powerful ministry that comes forth. And we want to see that. We want to see more of that. But I think one of the most primary ministries of the Holy Spirit in any believer's life, Paul states in Romans chapter 5 that the Holy Spirit comes to shed abroad in our hearts. That means to fill up your heart, to paint the inside of your heart in such a way that you personally know that you're one of the beloved. You're one of the kids. You belong. You have identity. And to those who know they are loved, there's strength in waiting. It brings a strength to wait. Another anchor for waiting is to have grown in a sense that you know that the goodness of God is trustworthy. And what I mean by that is to be able to know that no matter what kind of valley you're walking through that requires waiting, that you can walk through any valley, any set of circumstances, however hard, with the hope and the trust that God's goodness is at work. There's a redemptive thing going on. I may not see it, hear it, taste it, feel it, but I believe that the goodness of God is the most trustworthy place to lean into, no matter what the valley. I know that I'm beloved. I know that His goodness is trustworthy. And the final thing I would say is what Abraham began to walk in and live out his life in is he understood that his story belonged in God's bigger story. That his plan for his life belonged in God's bigger plan for bigger things. As a matter of fact, there's an amazing verse in the book of Hebrews. It goes on, after we hear about Abraham and other men and women of faith, and it comes down and it says, some of these received their promise, and others did not receive their promise, because their promise was not to be fulfilled until us. That's what the writer of Hebrews. Because you see, sometimes the blessing that God wants to bring in our lives, the response and the answer and the blessing is actually not just for us. It's for our personal life, but He wants to use our personal life to actually bless and serve and be a part of others' lives. Sometimes the promises aren't fulfilled just for us. It's not always about us. Or a better way to put it is oftentimes what is about us with God is actually the overflow for others. I mean, some days I need to hear, Martin, it's not about you. I have staff who've been telling me that for years. It's helpful. But with God, because God is love, there's not just the check that needs to remind us that it's just not about you, but you know, you're actually a part of something that's bigger that what's going on with you can actually have spillover in blessing and serve others. So it's not just for me. It'll be for us. So that's one of the wonderful things about the work of God in our lives. That He's just not creating a collection of individually saved people. But he's birthing a peoplehood, a nation, a race, a movement, a kingdom that is this living thing that transcends the individuality and it overflows in blessing to the world. That's what God said to Abraham at the beginning, right? I'm going to, my blessing to you will bless the nations. What an imagination, right? What a way to expand our imagination. To understand that when God wants to give us the kingdom, He's wanting to bless and love us and anchor us in that love and in that goodness and show us that our story belongs to this bigger story and that through us He will actually be blessing the world in our sphere. Isn't that an amazing thing? To wait upon the Lord is to be more deeply anchored in those three realities. And to know that between the promise or the word or the vision or the dream or the understanding about more of the kingdom and the fullness of that blessing, He's doing a work in us that will be not just for us, but for others. And so tomorrow, the Revived Task Force actually meets for the first time. Yay! And we're going to begin to listen to the Lord and begin to try to imagine and be open to what the Spirit might say to us and how we might, who are the people we're called to serve and who are the people we're called to reach out to. And Lord, just give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that could be moved by that. Lord, give us the imagination to open up, to dream and to see things that we've not dreamed and seen before. And when I think about who we are, who are we as the people of apostles who are waiting upon the Lord? Well, I hope we're anchored in His love. news on at 200 Colony Boulevard is a part of his bigger story. It's just not about us. As a matter of fact, the real joy is the good news that it's not about us. It's actually we get to participate in this big thing that God is doing. And I think there are, I just want to say out loud this morning to all of you what I'm going to say tomorrow night to the team. I think there are four things that shape who we are. I think absolutely, if I were to describe what we're about, I would say we're about making disciples. We're about allowing the Lord Jesus by His Spirit to be at work in us in such a way that whoever we encounter in our world, we're open to being able to step into their lives and the Lord might use us to speak a word of encouragement, a word of invitation, a word of healing, a word of rebuke. It doesn't matter. That we're willing to step into people's lives and be open in ways that we would help them take the next step in faith. And maybe there's a day where somebody's actually taking the big step of faith and becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Or another big day when people are being filled with the Holy Spirit. Or just another big day where somebody becomes so self-aware of who they are with Christ that their life just becomes on fire. That we are the people who are making disciples. That's what Jesus charged His church. It was a final command at the Ascension. What is the bigger story about? One of the things is, would you make disciples? Would you step into your neighbor's lives? You're that open channel, that vessel. Be a disciple maker. And then the other thing I'd say about us is, we've heard this in a prophetic word, we've seen it lived out, is that we're the kind of place that has practiced and wants to be more and more. We want to welcome spiritual seekers and spiritual orphans. You see, I believe there's a great migration in the Church of Jesus Christ going on in our country. And I describe the migration as this. I think there are men and women, followers of Christ, who are wanting to move out of churches and communities and fellowships that are toxic and spiritually unhealthy. They want to move away from fundamentalism. They want to move away from a misinterpretation of Scripture. They want to move away from bad pictures and paintings of who God is and how God works. People are searching for the place where the living God in Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit is showing up in grace and showing up in mercy, showing up in restoration, showing up in healing. And so there's this great migration. People are moving. And they're looking for those places of community where they can go, Jesus Christ is here. The Spirit is at work here. Oh, it's always, what Paul said, a treasure in earthen vessels. You're looking for the place where you might never be disappointed. This is not the place for you. If you're looking for a place that a brother and sister might never hurt your feelings, this is probably not the place for you. But if you're looking for real people trying to follow the real God in the power of the Spirit, in the messy way of grace, this might be your place. So we want to be a place for spiritual orphans. Men and women who just haven't found that place where they can grow and thrive and share life and do life together. All of that stuff. They're looking for that kind of place. And it's that the atmosphere, the environment is grace. Come as you are. Bring your mess. Not only come as you are and bring your mess, we actually want you to talk about it. We want to bring it to Jesus, together with you. Somebody this week showed me the painting by that Scandinavian artist whose name I always forget, that entitled Scream. The picture of the guy with his hands on his head. I think he's on a bridge. And he's just, pretty much the depiction of modern life. Right? I mean, who hasn't wanted to scream? But we want to be the place where people can come in like this and they can end up like this. And it's okay to scream with you. Weep with you, laugh with you, scream with you. We want to be that kind of place. Spiritual orphans, spiritual seekers. Third thing I say is we're folks who just, the leadership decided long ago we're gonna have boundaries and certain practices and it's gonna be sort of have decided by the tradition of the Anglican way. We just some things we do because this is the tribe we're in. And we have an ordered, connected life. We're not independent. Our clergy are under orders. We have a boss who checks on us. We're accountable to you. There's a vestry. There's a group that helps govern with the rector and the clergy and the staff. So we're ordered. We're connected. We're responsible. We're accountable. That's the kind of community you are. We're a community of the Word. We believe God speaks through this thing called the Bible. We believe it's absolutely trustworthy. Not fundamentalists. We're not literalists. There are some things in here that could be taken literally. There's some things that are metaphors. There are all kinds of ways. This is not a flat book, but it's a living book. And the living God speaks out of it. And we believe you can guide your life by this book. But not apart from the Spirit. We're a people of the Word and the Spirit. We know that just having this book alone is not enough. That you need the Holy Spirit in your lives. Jesus said, I'll send the Holy Spirit to the Spirit. You're without sure. So if you're sitting with the Bible without the Holy Spirit, you haven't learned how to listen to the Spirit, you're without the teacher. This book needs the teacher. And we're a place that says, you know, it's the Word and the Spirit, but it's just not any, it's not me and my Jesus and my book. It's us and our Jesus and our book. And we believe that the Holy Spirit speaks most often. God speaks to His people, through His people. So we're ordered and connected, we're Word and Spirit. We want this body life. We have a central gathering of the community, weekly around God's altar. God unites us in the sacrament. We baptize those who come in. So there are some guardrails, there are some boundaries in the Anglican way. But above all, if it's of the kingdom, we want it. If it's of the kingdom of God, we want it. The kingdom of God trumps anything in the tradition. Anything. But we hold those two in tension. That's who we are. And then finally, I would say, I'll say this to the team tomorrow night. I believe that whatever God says about who we're to reach or how we're to do it or where He's leading, however He opens up the future, it's going to resonate with the history of who we've been and who we've become. And maybe one Sunday, we'll just take a Sunday to tell the story. We started in 1996, so there's a little bit of story. And the way that God has worked among us. And so as we wait upon the Lord, we wait in this place, first rooted in His love, that we are the beloved. And we know it's grace. It's like what God said to the people of Israel a generation or two after Abraham. He said, listen, it wasn't because you were anything special. It wasn't because you were of a certain number of people or you had certain cultural strength. I mean, I just chose you to demonstrate what I can do with anybody. And we're those kind of people. We're those kind of people. And so we wait upon the Lord, love, knowing that He has been good, that He will continue to be good, no matter what hardship comes or what challenge comes, knowing that our story is a part of the story of the church of this city, which is a part of the story of the church of this state, which is a part of the story of the church of this nation, which is a part of the story of the church of this world, that we belong to a kingdom, that the church serves the kingdom, which so just But at the end of the day, here's what we also know, that life in the kingdom is not abstract. It can only be lived and experienced locally, with real relationships, with real brothers and sisters, building deeper friendships, sharing life together, being the channel of the voice of God, the encouragement of God, or even the accountability of God, whatever's needed in our lives. And we need that. And so we wait upon the Lord, and we have this promise that those who wait upon the Lord knew their strength. You see, the interesting thing about what the Lord says about waiting is that actually there's something about waiting on the Lord. Now listen, I know what, you can just wait. You can just make white knuckle fists. You could just hold on. You can just grit your teeth. But maybe that you do that all the time anyways, but there's waiting on the Lord, believing that God is in this room, that God is in your life, and that God's love and goodness and plan are at work. You're waiting on Him, not que sera, sera. No, we don't want any self-help wisdom. We want the Lord. We want His Word. We want His leading, because He knows us and He has life planned for us, and we wait on Him. You know, when I order something from Amazon, I want what I ordered to show up on my porch. I don't want the local, you know, snake refuge people to put a snake on my porch. You laugh. But remember Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father will give the Holy Spirit? We wait on the Lord for the Lord's gifts and the Lord's word and the Lord's way. Faith that God is, that He is in this work and He is in your life. And hope that the things that God is doing are good. And life building and life changing. Life releasing. Life giving. And love. You see, I think one of the treasures of waiting let me begin with the positive word, invite, and then the challenging word, it's meant to drive us closer to Him. As we wait, we're meant to lean more deeply into Him. And when we do, we begin to understand the depth and the breadth and the height and the width of the love of God for us. There's no greater gift to be waiting upon the Lord in a season of challenge and to hear your own soul say, Lord, I have nowhere else to go. I'm counting totally on You. What a gift. What a place. When Jesus said, abide in Me, I am the vine, you are the branches, I think one of the things He meant was we're meant to live in that place all the time, where we know there's nowhere else to go. There's no one else to depend on. That all our faith and all our hope, all our experience of authentic love are in Him. Wait upon the Lord, and He will renew your strength like the eagle. There is something that happens in the core of our being. There is a strength to wait and to endure until He meets us. Until He meets us. Well, I believe when Jesus said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, that means that the kingdom has shipped. It's in transit. As a matter of fact, Jesus would say, the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is near, waiting for those who can wait and at the moment receive what He has to give. I don't know how many of you are in a waiting place, a real waiting place. Some of you might be in a rejoicing place. Some of you, many of us, are in a waiting place. I believe as a congregation, we're in a waiting place that has a joy of having been met by the Lord in the revive process, journey, and the Lord's promise is ahead of us. And we're beginning to go listen through the team tomorrow night. But will you wait with us? Will you press into your own experience of the love of God? Will you press deeper into your own trust in His goodness? Will you ask Him to show you and use you in ways that your story are written more deeply into His bigger story? That's what we long for. Because the world is full of spiritual orphans and spiritual seekers. And the darkness seems to have gotten a little darker on the outside, which only makes the contrast of how bright the light of Jesus is all the more. He is the light of the world, and it was never intended to be put under a bushel and hid. So as we wait, let's let our light shine. Amen. Amen.